I've been looking at exploring faith. And as we said, as we started looking at this particular aspect of God's word, we said that the interesting thing about the subject of faith is that almost everybody has one knowledge or the other about it. But the practice of it is where the power lies and the understanding lies. And there's no one who doesn't need to update their understanding of the subject of faith. We always need to reevaluate our understanding when it comes to the subject of faith, so we can actually become effectual in the expression of our faith. Hallelujah. So we have covered some ground. We looked at different things what faith is, when faith is an expression. But let's look at what Jesus said in Mark 11:22. The Bible says, and Jesus answering said unto them, "Had faith in God." And we said that that means have the God kind of faith. Now, the beautiful part is that we are looking at this, living the reality of what Jesus said. Every believer has the God kind of faith. Say, I have the God kind of faith. My faith produces results. Notice those Jesus was teaching. Many things that Jesus taught were not things that they could practice in the days of Jesus, but things they could begin to practice after Jesus died and rose again. Okay, when you see everyone saying that, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He was talking to people who were physically standing with him, so they couldn't physically come. He wasn't speaking about them coming at that time. He was speaking about them coming to him in the light of him being their redeemer and savior. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of things that Jesus taught confused the Pharisees. They were confused. Okay, if you look at the teachings of Jesus, many things he spoke pointed to the future. Most of those things he taught pointed to what will happen when he fulfills his mandate. Okay, for instance, in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not, but shall have what?" The word "give" there, was it a reference to the birth of Jesus or the death of Jesus? The what? So if you read that in the light of the fact that Jesus was born, that wasn't when he was given. You need to understand what that wasn't when he was given. It was given when he hung on the cross. Because without the death of Jesus, there couldn't be a resurrection. And he was believing in what he accomplished on the cross, that's what it meant for God to give. Okay, so for God so loved that he gave, that word "gave" us means he gave up to die. He allowed the process to happen, that whosoever believed. So Jesus wasn't available for you and I to believe in him until he rose from the dead. So there were things he taught that were not a reference to what was happening when he was physically among them. It was a reference to what will happen after he rises from the dead. In fact, that John 3:16, look at verse 15. Okay, we have some issues with the... Okay, it's good. Let's read our Bible. Hallelujah. And so, that's why some of us, our Bibles are very new. But the pages of newspapers are very old. Okay, are you there? John 3, from verse 14. See what it says. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man," listen, "must the Son of Man be lifted up." So he wasn't yet lifted up. "He, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life." So even so must this must happen. When was he lifted up? When he was on the cross. When could they believe on him? When he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Can you see that? So when Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, when he said that, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," he wasn't talking about them coming to him physically. He was talking about the reality of when he rises from the dead, the rest he will give them is salvation. Let him be. Just let him be. Let him be. He's enjoying himself. Let him keep enjoying himself. The good thing about being a child is that what you can't do, you can do. If you come around like this, we will arrest you, but we can't, we leave you alone. Haven't you heard what Jesus said? So far, the children to come unto me. Mm-hmm. Right, so when Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, it wasn't referring to a physical coming on. It was talking about them receiving salvation, which is rest. Do you understand? So when he was teaching in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, have the God kind of faith. If he says have, let me ask a question. Did they have that kind of faith? No. Have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Therefore, or for this reason I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And we establish the fact that verse 24 is a teaching on prayer. That the principle of faith that Jesus taught in verse 23 is actually hanging on verse 24. What was Jesus really teaching? He was trying to teach them about prayer. Because he said, therefore, or the reason why I shared with you about how the faith of God works, so that you understand why prayer works. How does prayer work? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray. That means when you pray, you are meant to say when you pray. Therefore, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that when you pray, you receive them. You shall what? Have them. So the receiving is done at the point of praying. Now, in the same way also, the receiving is done at the point of speaking. The having, which we call manifestation, is done after. Notice Jesus doesn't place a time frame. Now, this is Jesus, sinless perfection. He spoke to the fig tree. He left. He didn't check. He came back. He didn't check. The disciples saw the effect of Jesus' words, which are spiritual, on a fig tree, which is natural. So, in other words, according to Jesus, the law of faith, when it comes into operation, means that spiritual forces will be released that will change the nature of natural things. I'm going to say that again. They saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. What is the root of a tree? The source of a tree. That's where sustenance comes from. So when Jesus spoke, they didn't see any sign on the fig tree. The leaves were still fresh. But the ones Jesus spoke, when they begin to take place, immediately. Where did they start taking place? In the unseen part of the tree, the visible part. Hallelujah. You understand? So, what should that teach us about how faith works? Faith doesn't necessarily mean you will see any external sign to start with. Yet, it does not mean that power has not been released. It doesn't mean that power has not been released. You know, some things that some of us call faith is actually miracles. Did you hear what I said? Some things that we call faith is actually miracles. What do I mean by that? Whenever you see something take place immediately and time factor is not involved, it's miracles. That means nature is suspended and many times altered. But when it takes a process, faith usually takes what? Process of time. Faith takes a process of time. People have asked a question. Pastor, I was confessing. I was declaring this. And I asked a simple question. What you are confessing and declaring, does it involve the impute of men? If it does, you will need to have praying the Spirit to it. Otherwise, it will take you a longer time. Somebody says, why? Because faith doesn't bend the will of men. Shall I say that again? Whatever you're believing for that involves the will of men, okay? One of the reasons why I pray in the Spirit, because a lot of times, once the will of men are involved, men can constitute a hindrance, or they can constitute a passage for you in that sense. So Jesus was speaking to natural things. We didn't see Jesus just speak to a tree alone. A tree is a natural force, isn't it? But we saw the same operation of Jesus. We looked at Mark 4. We saw Matthew 8. Okay, and 14. And in those cases, Jesus spoke to a storm. Jesus spoke to a storm. Look at Mark 4. verse 35. Matthew 4, verse 35. See what Jesus said. And same day when the even was come. What is even? Evening. Okay, only usual evening. Okay. When evening was come, he said unto who? Unto who? Why was he speaking to them? You realize that Jesus did not speak to the air. He spoke to them. They were the ones who were going to be in the ship. And because some of them were fishermen, they were going to actually ensure the ship gets to the other side. They were the ones who were going to row the ship. So Jesus spoke unto them. What's our destination? Let us go to the other side. So Jesus set the destination with those words. That's where we're going. Okay? And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with them other little ships. Okay? So it was a convoy. Jesus moved in a convoy. Okay? So even the convoy. So, verse 27. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And it was in the inner part of the ship. Okay? Asleep on a pillow. And I awake him and say unto him, Master, carest not thou that we perish? Let me ask a question. Are they perished? Did they believe they will perish? Yes. How do we know they believe they will perish? Don't tell me it was because of the storm. The storm was doing its own. The storm didn't have the ability to cause them to perish until they agreed with the storm. How did they agree? Don't you know we're going to perish? And we said that when it comes to doubt, when doubt develops to fear, it believes the worst of a situation. Faith believes the best of a situation. Doubt believes the worst of a situation. What did Jesus say? Let us go to the other side. How do we know Jesus believed what they said? Jesus went to sleep. Mm-hmm. Notice the Bible doesn't say Jesus forced himself to sleep. Jesus went to sleep. To go to sleep means that Jesus believed what he said, isn't it? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou without casting, and shall not doubt in his heart. How do we know Jesus didn't doubt? He went to sleep. How do we know Jesus really slept? He wasn't forming sleep. You know what I mean to form sleep? How do we know he wasn't forming sleep? Can't believe I'm speaking that English. How do we know he wasn't pretending to be asleep? Because they had to wake him up. Let me say something. Do you know to be asleep in a storm, you must be really asleep? I've been taking you on a ship before, even on a speedboat, and the water is moving. Have you seen the way the boat will be shaking and moving before? That the first road they become, I don't know whether you call it seasick now or river sick. The minute they see water moving, they just start becoming. Now, Jesus was asleep so deeply they had to wake him up. Why was he asleep? Well, he just finished a crusade first. Let's go to the other side. Okay, and the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. He just finished laboring, so he should rest. What did Jesus believe? What he said? What did he say? Let us go over to the other side. Now, here's a question you need to ask. How come when Jesus said so, he just didn't factor in any other thing except what he said? Let us go to the other side. It's like you standing here. This is the month of October. Ah, this year will be wonderful. By the end of this year, I will have accomplished many things. That statement is good until the news comes the next morning. You now try to reevaluate what you said. Now, as far as God is concerned, when you spoke that word, there was faith in your words. That was faith. Now, the issue is not the news that just came. The issue is that the news that just came must not get into your mouth. When you spoke, you know, because what the news does is this, you want to reevaluate what you have said. I don't even get it. You want to make adjustments. By the end of this year, I will have at least 500,000 in my account. Then there's a news that came that may have to do with your area of business. And in your area of business, they are shutting down the port. So and so are not working. It's like, you know, they shut down the borders. And maybe you buy those kind of goods and you not say that. So you now want to say that way, I may not be able to make that much. But the question is this, when you were saying what you said, did you believe what you said? Did you say it because the borders were open or because we were counting on God's power? So now that you heard the borders are shut, you want to now say, well, and that's where problem starts. Now, the same mouth that was used to release faith is about to release doubt now. How do we know you are releasing doubt? You didn't stand and now say, like you said before. You didn't know, it's not like you came and said that. You know what? I trust God, sha, at least not less than 200,000. You have recalibrated. The issue really is that, and here's the challenge. Why are you not conscious you have said that? You woke up one morning, you prayed a lot, and then you declared. When doubt begins to creep in, you will discover that you never really stood the way you stood like before and spoke. You started speaking when you were talking to friends. Only God knows where this country is going. Can you imagine? May God shall help us. I shall hope that my business will work. You started undermining the goal that you set. The goal that you set is not too big for God to meet. What does God require you to do to say it? What is that to do for you to be able to say it? Whosoever shall say. You can almost look at it as the constitution of a believer is that he has the ability and capacity to say. And shall not doubt. We won't know doubt is in your heart until it enters your mouth. So, you don't know that we that we speak God's word, we also have doubt trying to creep into our heart. It doesn't have a firm base to be established until we voice it. Because situations want to make you recalibrate whatever you said before. What did Jesus say? Jesus did not say, I thought we would get to the other side. This is very serious. Let's go back. If God can only save our lives, Jesus just got up. Whatever was a hindrance, he just rebuked it and looked at the others like, why did you come to wake me for this? Let me tell you what that means. It may shock you. If Jesus was not awakened by the others, and they saw the water coming to the ship and the storm beating, and they remember what he said, let us go. The master said, let us go. You know what they would have done? Do you know the storm would not have stopped? They should just have done what the master did, gone to sleep. What will happen? The storm will continue, but the ship will get to the other side. You hear what I said? The ship will get to the other side. How do I know? Remember, we saw Matthew 14. Okay, let's read this. Let's finish with this, Mark. I'll show you what I mean now. You see what I'm talking about. Are you in Mark? So, verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, oh my goodness, look at Jesus. Who is he speaking to, or what is he speaking to? Can we say he spoke the same way he spoke to the tree? He spoke to the sea. Jesus believes things we hear him, and that things hear. Oh, I love the testimony of Dr. Kenneth Copeland. When there was this, all over the world, they have natural disasters. Like in the US, they have a lot of hurricanes. Okay? Which one was the latest one? They always give it a female name. I don't know. Why can't it be a male name like Zacchaeus or something? Katrina. Which other one again? Sorry? Florence. Floria. Why are they always being female names? Why not Hurricane Zacchaeus or something? Now, it was going to pass by their ministry headquarters. The prediction of the hurricane was going to come. So this man of God came out of his property premises. And he said, you hurricane, in the name of Jesus, I command you to turn around and go the other way around. And the hurricane turned and bypassed their property, and nothing that belonged to them was affected. One man. Ahead of John Alexander Dowie, he had to cross the Atlantic Ocean about 8 times. Each time he crossed, it was in a ship, and a storm arose. Each time, to show you, it wasn't apostance. It wasn't coincidence. It wasn't that God was in a good mood on a particular day. Mm-mm. Each time, he will stand up on the ship and rebuke, and each time it will be still. Why was he walking each time? It wasn't trying. Do you hear what I said? It wasn't trying. You know, trying is that I hope it will work. It's like you're standing before a dog that is fierce. You're like, if I shout, maybe it will respond. But if you know that the dog will respond, there's a way you handle it. You know? And one thing some of us don't know is that dogs can smell fear. I hope you know. Dogs can smell fear. I don't know how to describe it to you, but dogs, they have a sense. They actually smell fear. So if you are afraid, it's like there's something in the atmosphere that just spreads. If you are bold, there's also a signal sense. Dogs can smell fear. And they have a tendency to attack wherever fear sense. That's one reason why they attack thieves a lot. I mean, I've gone to several compounds, people that had dogs. And I mean, some of them are very terrible dogs. I mean, dogs that the head of the dog, even the head, even they tell you that this one is very gentle. You don't just see the head. You're not thinking of gentility at all. That the head of this thing, and it's always as high as this from the ground. And the head is like here. You are thinking. And it's only the person that says, enter. You are considering whether you should. That may your ministry not end here. No. But in those instances, I just knew that I cannot afford to be afraid. So I stepped in and walked boldly. I wasn't walking like, you know, this is drug, not like this. I was walking straight where the dog was because you cannot afford to be afraid. Because they smell fear, actually. So Jesus stood up, rebuked the wind. And many others have done the same thing because they were not practicing. They were using their faith. Jesus said, whosoever shall say, be thou removed, be thou cast. So whosoever shall say. So the question is this, are you bold enough to say? Let me go this way. If you have the faith of God, you already have the faith of God already because you are in Christ. The question is this, most of us are not bold to say. That means you're not bold to use your faith. In your mind, you're thinking, why should this thing respond to me? Well, Jesus said it will respond to you. And Jesus used it that way. Whosoever shall say. Okay, see again. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Let me ask you a question. What did they express? Fear of faith. Fear of faith. So, why is it that you have no faith? Let me rephrase that in normal English. Why is it that you did not express any faith? Where was your faith supposed to be from? What Jesus said, let us go. When Jesus said, let us go to the other side, he didn't say, let us go so we may capsize. Let us go is a complete statement that means that we are going to reach the end of the journey. Then, let me put it this way. Was Jesus with them? Was Jesus with them in the ship? Where was Jesus sleeping? Permit me to use this illustration. Jesus is with you, but he's not in manifestation. So everywhere is quiet. Quiet means that you are not. There is no sign in your environment to show you that Jesus is there. No blinding light. No thunder. No angelic manifestation. Is Jesus there? Yes. What is Jesus doing? Sleeping. So Jesus is not in manifestation. He's not walking around the sheep. He's just there. But the posture of Jesus, whether he's walking around or asleep, does not reduce the efficacy of the word of God. So God is with you where you are. You are still the one that will decide whether you'll be afraid or not afraid. That means the fear they exhibited had nothing to do with the absence of God's power. Hallelujah. I hope you understand what I'm saying tonight. You are there with God's power, and God's power is with you, and yet you are still afraid. That means that God's power is with you doesn't mean you'll be afraid. Being afraid is a choice. What's the choice? What were they observing? They saw the wind. That's exactly what happened with Peter when he was walking on water. If you were Peter also, think about it. You're already walking on water. That's already impossible. And the wind did not calm down for you to walk on it. And that was one instance that we saw, that Jesus can be where you are. The wind will be raging. It doesn't mean Jesus is absent. That's too important. It doesn't mean Jesus is absent. Because here's the issue that some of us have. We use circumstances to judge what the will of God is. One of the most terrible deceptions that has ever come to the body of Christ is this evil teaching, where people say things like, whatever we be, we be. There's no greater lie. If God wants it to be so, it will be so. It's a lie. It's a serious lie. When God is ready to answer, he will answer. That's a lie. Those are statements that look good But those statements actually relieve you of the responsibility of your faith. Imagine you said, if it is will of God, it will come to pass. Brothers and sisters, the will of God does not automatically come to pass. Do you know the Bible says, God is not willing that any should perish, but they are perishing. They are perishing. He will have all men to be saved and to come to know the truth, but not all men are saved. No men are saved. So we can see the will of God. The only way you can know the will of God is not in experience, is in the word of God. The word of God is the statement of God's will. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's the will of God. You cannot say, in this sickness, what is God trying to teach me? No. That means you are now using circumstances to judge what the will of God is. And you're going to get into trouble. The reason why that visa was refused is because God is trying to teach me a lesson. Which lesson? There's a greater lesson if the visa is given. It's a greater lesson if the visa is given. If it is refused and you still praise God, we know you learned a lesson, but not that God taught you. The refusal is not God teaching you. Oh, I was telling a young man during the week that, because after I finished discussing why he was experiencing difficulties in the past 12, 13, 14 years, why there's been stagnation, he's not moving forward. So he has sensed the call of God. He has even gone to seminar and everything. He said maybe God doesn't want him to work because he has called him. I said, it's a lie. I said, in fact, if you pray, God will give you work so that you'll have a choice. See, when you don't have work, you don't have choice. You cannot say, I'm serving God joyfully, because you don't have any choice. How is that? But if you have work, you can now choose whether to serve God or not. So you cannot say, the reason why I'm not getting job because God doesn't want, because he wants me to preach God. Who told you preaching the gospel does not involve working? You can work and still preach the gospel. You see, now, from 2004 till now, you have not been able to marry. No woman has been able to stay. And you're still thinking, what is God teaching you? That's using circumstances to try to interpret what God is doing, and you will always miss it. You can't bank on circumstances. You know, when I was praying and preparing, this particular point came so strongly to my heart that many times when we miss God is that we try to use circumstances to interpret the will of God. You're going to miss God that way. You have to learn to depend on the word of God to interpret the will of God. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will. What you will is because you have found out what I will. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. It shall be what? Done unto you. Please don't fall for the general lie that says, if it's not happening the way it's meant to happen, maybe it's the will of God. You just spoke as a believer that you are ignorant of God's will. That's what you're saying. If you are ignorant of God's will, find out what the will of God is first. Find out what the will of God is first. Your faith will not work. It will be neutralized. You may want to directly use your faith the way you're meant to use it. Because every time you want to use your faith, you're telling yourself, is this the will of God? Is this the will of God? That's the issue. So you notice that the challenge is that many times we don't deliberately, actively use our faith because there's a question mark on the inside. Is this the will of God? You are holding up to get married. You want to get married. You may have some challenges, and I've seen people who have challenges. Then you now say, maybe God doesn't want me to marry now. No. It's not certain time. Why are you now saying maybe? You are looking at the challenges, maybe a delay or a situation. You now want to use that to say, maybe that is not the will of God. The will of God is that a man should set a goal. He should use his faith in a particular direction. He should get results. If he's not getting results, God says he should ask for wisdom. What's wisdom? What do I do next? Maybe what I just said now is a little bit beyond. Look at James chapter 1. So you see what I'm talking about. James chapter 1 from verse 1. From verse 2. James 1 from verse 2. Look at what James teaches us by the Spirit of God. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into what? Diverse temptations. Now, the temptations are not joyful. And they are diverse. They are many-sided. That's not the joyful part. It is you that must stay joyful. The word count already tells you whatever is happening is not a joyful situation. So the word count is like account or record it or take it as an opportunity to rejoice. So it says count it all joy when you fall. Knowing this. So a believer has a knowing. It says that the trying of your faith works what? Patience. Now again, don't add what the scripture does not say. The trying of your faith. Listen, when you fall into diverse temptations, God is telling you, what should you do? You should count it joy. That already tells you the diverse temptations are not coming from God. It's simply telling you what you should do to respond to the situation. It now says you should have a knowing. Why are you counting it joy? Or why are you rejoicing despite the difficulty? It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works what? Patience. The word patience there is not the way most of us think of it. Patience and long suffering is not the same thing. Long suffering means you endure certain things to a degree. The word patience there means, the best way to say, it's consistency in the face of contradictory evidence. Consistency. What did you say you wanted to have? What did you say you desire? What is the goal that you have set for your faith? Don't change it, even though the circumstances are not favorable. That's patience. Patience is not that I am patiently suffering. Patience is that I am going to be constant and consistent. I won't change, even though the situation is trying to persuade me to change. That's patience. It now says your consistency, which is the root of what you have believed. Because, for instance, now, no matter the pressure that comes in life, I will not stop thinking or saying I'm a man. Somebody asked me one day, I said that if you're giving half a billion, Pastor, what would you do? What kind of profession would you say? What profession? Profession. I said, I'll buy land. Get a bigger auditorium. Make people more comfortable. Sponsor more crusades. Go on air. Except God says, don't go. Everything I told him. If I was saying all those things before, I said that, okay, I need to get a house for myself too. Everything I was thinking was, okay, how do we? That I wasn't thinking about personal. I wasn't thinking about. I was just thinking about, okay, how can we get more? Because this is my own passion. More money will simply reveal who you have always been. It won't hide things. It will just reveal who you have always been. You understand? So the issue is that if you give you money, because that is my trust, my drive in life is that people must be blessed. They must fear the word of God. That's what excites me. So, you see, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works with patience. But let that consistency come to a state of perfection. So that you may experience, there is a status. There's what you call a maturity you now have. You lack nothing. Let me explain what that means. I'm using my faith. I've gotten results. There were times when my faith got results immediately. There were times it took a while. But let patience have its perfect work. Perfect work of patience means that after a while, you have learned how to be consistent in your declaration, even when everything is contrary, because you know that you are still going to have the results. Experience has taught you, I will be here, the situation will change. The challenges and the storms of life, they have a short lifespan. I and my faith have a longer lifespan. I will be here. The challenges will have gone, I will still be here standing. Hallelujah. If after 25 years, Abraham's faith to have a child still came to pass, that tells you that except you drop it, it will work. Except you drop it. Listen, passage of time, comments you hear from people will make you feel as though you are wasting your time. But if you allow patience to have this perfect work, which is what patience does, that it trains you to know the path you have chosen, you won't fail. You will not fail. What did you say? You said you are healed. How are you feeling in your body like you're not healed? Which one will come to pass that you are healed? Why are you saying you are healed? It's not a mirage or figment of your imagination. It is the authority of God's word they are standing on. So you are using a reality to adjust facts. Any state of health issue in your body is a fact in the natural. The word of God is reality. So one is bigger and stronger than the other. But it is what you say that you will have, not necessarily what God has said. So if you take what God has said and that becomes what you say, you will have what God has said. Can you see? So what Satan simply knows is this. He knows you will not have what God said. He will know you will not have what he says. He knows you will have what you say. So what he simply does is that he comes around you, gives you something to say. Because if it can enter your mouth, it will feed your heart. And your heart is indiscriminate when it comes to planting seed. Have you ever gone to a soil before? Just bring maize. You planted. And so I said, I'm not growing this one. How many of you wait? Some of you, I know you go and carry anointing oil. And pour it on the land. Every demon. You know, the African man, we like mediums. Have you noticed? Now, you could have cast out the demons in the ground. Demons can be in the ground, yeah. You can cast out with your word. But you feel better that you're carrying something physical. Like I used to touch. It's this same idolatry mindset of jazz. You feel if I carry this oil, this oil was anointed from the city of Jerusalem. This water came from the river Jordan. There's power inside it. And for those kind of believers, there's power in everything except inside of them. So this is why the power inside they cannot see or touch. But if you give bottle of oil, I can see this oil. This is power. The Archbishop anointed this. If I put a drop like this here, why does it work? Because that's what you believe. The question is that the oil cannot even contain a fraction of the power that lies inside of you. It can't. It can't. I've told you before that I've dealt, in my practical, I've dealt with a land before that was not producing. It was words that were spoken. I touched land, I spoke. 3 days after, everything the young man had planted, he planted first time, planted second time, planted third time, he came to me. He said, okay, it's because I'm not paying my tithes. Let me, he's not looking for reasons why it's not working. It's as though you're like, okay, maybe God is withholding the harvest because I'm not paying my tithes. God doesn't have any work he's doing. He's inspecting those who are not paying tithes. Let me check your record. No harvest for you. I mean, that's what you're thinking. He said, I said, well, maybe something's wrong. He said, when you finish using your own portion of land, I will borrow your own land. I said, wait, I will give you my portion after we've gone to your land. Let's go to your land. So I went to the land. I laid hands on the first part. Went to the end, laid hands, spoke to the land. I spoke to it. Well, Jesus said you can speak to things. 3 days after all this, we had planted 3 different times. Nothing happened. Everything, I said, don't plant anything again. Just leave it. Everything I planted that did not spring, it just sprung out. What if we didn't speak and we're waiting? What was he doing? He was praying. What did Jesus tell us about prayer of faith? He said it works because of what you have been saying. So here's what was happening. He wasn't saying what he ought to have said. So the prayer was not working. Prayer is directed towards what? God. Words are directed towards things. So he says, if you are praying to God, that's God's word. If you are speaking words, that's towards the issue itself. You cannot use one as, you can use one outside of the other, but both of them work together. You cannot report a mountain to God. He said you speak to the mountain. What can you ask God for? You can ask for wisdom. If you are noticing that maybe there are one or two things you are not doing, because you cannot doubt God and say that, God, come. I spoke to this mountain. This one is stubborn. He said, I won't go. So instead of you thinking that way, James tells us, let your consistency have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. One thing, what? Nothing. Then look at the next verse. Pastor C, thank you. Verse 5. If any of you always with, so actually contextually, what is he really talking about? faith. If you lack wisdom, which wisdom? What do I do next? Can you see there's a process? What did you just pass through? Diverse temptations. What were you doing? You were standing in faith. How were you standing in faith? He said, make sure you count it all joy. He says, if you see that maybe, okay, I'm still not seeing change, what is the next thing to do? Let him ask of God, who gives to all men. Which is, God is like, do this now. Why can't you ask man? Very simple. For every situation, there's usually a different response. Notice, when people share testimonies, you'll be encouraged, but their testimonies can't give you faith. A testimony implies a particular pathway a person or a couple or a group of people went through. Pathways are specific. Situations are general. Let me explain what I mean by that. By lifting the rod, Moses parted the Red Sea. By stepping into the River Jordan with the ark, the River Jordan separated. By eating the River Jordan with a cloak, it parted. What is consistent is that the river parted. The method by which it parted were all different. So that means there were specific instructions given. So instead of acting like Moses, Joshua asked God. God told him, you know what? Let the priest go in with a hack and the waters will stop. He didn't go and, where is that rod? Where did Moses drop it? That's how problem starts. Let him ask of God, who gives to all men. What's that wisdom? What is wisdom? Joshua asked God for wisdom. What's God's wisdom? Let the priest carry the water. You are not Moses. You hear what I said? In fact, God told him that Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, hear again. Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, again. Can you hear what I'm saying? He's dead. That is, don't expect him to come back. He's not coming back. What does that mean? Your own season has come. You are not Moses. You will do miracles not like Moses. You will do miracles. What is concerned? I'm the God of Moses. I'm the God of Joshua. But the way each one will be used will be what? Different. Can you see the issue? So you cannot copy a testimony, because the pathway by which it came to pass, it will be different. It will be different. So, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You are believing God for 250,000. You have just 2 weeks. For reasons that we don't know, that God may know. He knows you won't see that money in 2 weeks, but deadline is 2 weeks. And he knows if you don't get that, then your faith will be discouraged. But for reasons that we don't know, but God knows, which is why we can't judge your faith, you will not be able to get that money in that 2 weeks. So God, when you're asking God for wisdom, we are praying, the God brings you and says, go and borrow the money. And I say, no. The borrower is servant today. You will suffer. You will suffer. My pastor used to see this. He said, I have great faith in borrowing money. But it's the case. He said, you know what? I always get people to borrow me. And I always pay back. So the Bible says that the wicked borrow can pay nothing. He said, but I always pay back. He said, my faith works like fire when it comes to borrowing. I always get people. Now, what is the wisdom of God in that situation? Go and borrow. Is this still faith? Yes. Have you tried borrowing before? It's like everybody that you talk to, they didn't have. You start thinking that, is it I don't know the right people? Why is everybody? Have you tried borrowing before? It's like they were willing more to give you more than they were willing to collect. So it takes faith to even do that. But what if that leading of God, that's what God wants you to do? Let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally. And upbraids not, and he shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. So if you really follow contextually, what is he teaching? He's teaching about how to get your faith to produce maximally. Hallelujah. That's what he's teaching. How to get your faith to produce what? Maximally. Let him ask of God. What wisdom? What do I do next? What do I do next? To say it must happen the same way it happened in 1979. That's the problem. It must happen, and it must happen this way. Are two different things. It must happen, and it will happen. But must it happen this way? No. The wedding I want to have must be like that of Sister Kike. Very large hall. 3 days. Thursday, registry. Friday, engagement. Saturday, wedding. Sorry, week before, wedding shoot. My man must arrive at the venue with a horse. On a horse. Now, can God meet your demands? Yes. The problem with your demand is that you said, like Sister Kike, which is not in the Bible. That's the problem. It's not in the Bible. That's Sister Kike, it's not in the Bible. That particular way of doing things is not in the Bible. What do I believe God for? I'm going to have a dream wedding. I'm going to have everything covered by the grace of God. That should have been your desire. That's what should have been said. Okay? But like again, the minute you say those things and step out, the next thing is that any contrary situation, the Bible says that count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. They bring another report that's contrary to the report I have. And that almost always happens whenever you have the mandate of God to go. Almost always happens. That Jesus could come walking on the storm that they were afraid of in the middle of the night to let you know the storm has nothing to do with God's power of God. It doesn't mean the power of God will not. I told you, a woman who had been having issues with conception, finally believing that she has conceived and everything, started bleeding the third month. Went to be told, sir, I'm having a miscarriage. How do you know you're having? Say, I'm bleeding. So the man of God took blade, cut his hand. I'm also bleeding. Am I having miscarriage? Now, she was going to use her mouth to actually enforce a miscarriage. Meanwhile, a medical doctor would have told her there are some cases when the woman will be taken and for every single month she will bleed and baby will be fine. You know what Bishop told her? He said it is excess blood that is coming out. He said it is excess blood that is coming out. That's what he said. Now, do you know medically what he was saying is not far from the truth? He said it's excess blood that is coming out. The minute he said it's excess blood, the woman just calmed down. Why must you interpret the blood coming out as this? Why can't you interpret it as this? I don't know if you get it. This headache I'm having. Huh? Typhoid. You give it interpretation. Now say, Pastor T, I may not come on Friday. I think I'm coming down with a cold. You were not coming down. Now you will come down. Because even Satan is thinking that I trust him. He knows how to cooperate. Doors just entered. The waitings are going. By tomorrow morning, I may not be able to get up. You are believing the worst of a light symptom. A symptom that you can change around. Listen, how many of us have felt an headache or a headache or feelings of feverish condition a night before? The next morning, you didn't pray. Don't lie, you didn't pray. How many of them there? You didn't pray. But the next morning, you were fine. How many of you there? You didn't pray anything. You did not pray. When I said that, Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe you didn't pray. You didn't confess. The next morning, you woke up and you were what? Fine. Shouldn't that tell you that symptoms can lie? And symptoms need your cooperation to manifest. We're going to look at one or two examples. The Jews, the reason why they perished in the wilderness. Because the reason why Caleb and Joshua were singled out is very important. In the whole generation of people, only two men sided with God. And the reason I made them special is because they refused to follow the order of their senses, like the others did. The challenge of the nation of Israel when they left Egypt, particularly the generation that were slaves, which is what's happening to them in South Africa now. You take slavery away from people, but the slavery is still in their hearts. That's the problem. So the children of Israel were taken out of Egypt. Egypt was not taken out of them. So though they were free and they walked away, in their mind they were not free. They kept saying, let us go back to Egypt. In their mind, they kept going back. But Joshua and Caleb were different. They saw God's glory. They saw God's power. They believed what God had said. And that they believed doesn't mean they were singled out by God. It was actually a state of the heart, a choice that they made. I am going to believe and I'm going to be persuaded. It wasn't that, you know, God gave them a particular heart. That, your own heart is very special. I'm going to say, no. He gave everybody the same opportunity. They were the ones who made the choice to believe or not to believe. That's why God spoke about David, that David is a man after my heart. And David schooled himself that way. It was a schooling. Psalm 1 from verse 1. Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. Isn't he? I'm sorry, not standing in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day. How did the delight come? What he was doing with the law. What he was doing with the law. In his law does he meditate day and night. It's like taking somebody's opinion above every other opinion. He says, this man is blessed. How did he get blessed? Oh, why is he referred to him as being blessed? He does not walk in a council. If the Bible says a man does not walk in the council, it means that counsel is available. That walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. The way of sinners simply means a particular lifestyle. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. The scornful are those who stand aloof from the workings of God and make a mockery of those who are walking in it. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate how? Day and night. He shall be like a tree. When you see the word it shall be, is that simile? English students, is that simile? Sorry? It shall be like. Okay, so. It shall be like a tree planted by the water that bringeth forth its fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither. So notice, it shall be like a tree. It is telling you the situations that surround others surround him also. The difference in his own outcome. Count it all joy. Why are you counting the joy? You know, if you stand your ground, you will win. The question is, will you stand your ground? If you stand your ground, you will win. I always ask this question. Concerning your business and work events, what's stopping you from saying, in the next 1 month, I'm going to make like half a million in this business? You just declare it. It doesn't cost much to say. It costs much to stay with what you have said. But we are even afraid to say. You know, one of the ways you know your level of faith is this. What are you bold to say? And what you are not bold to say? Do you notice that when you say you are believing God for something, think about it. That in the next 5 months, I believe God for 2 million naira. You may see 2 million comfortably in the next 6 months. You may not be able to say 10 million comfortably in the next 6 months. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That is, the only reason why you will say 10 million is because we said it in church. Or somebody said beside you. Somebody's why? Because your mind is not really comfortable with the idea of 10 million. You can't seem to see it. The image is not forming. I mean, I'm talking about. So even when it comes to the heart, the progress of faith, you can actually examine yourself. The next 1 year, I'm going to build my own house. Everybody can say that. But when you're trying to see it, what was happening in your heart? Was there something that told you, shut up, oh, shut up. What are you saying? You can tell that statement, you don't really believe it. Now, here's how an intelligent believer behaves. Don't stop saying it. Your heart will be persuaded. After a while, your heart will be persuaded. Every time God wants to do something big and mighty in man's life, he usually likes, he knows that at the first instance of the revelation, he's already too big. But the next thing is that if you stay with it, after a while, your heart will adjust. I usually put it this way, When God comes with an idea or a vision that he wants you to accomplish, it's like wearing an oversized shoe. Wear it long enough, your feet will grow into it. It will become your size. Hallelujah. It will become your size after a while. What do? You stay with it. Let patience have its perfect work. That may be perfect and entire. One thing, nothing. One thing, nothing means you now know the process. We'll get results. Have you heard what this is? I say, you watch it and see. You will get results. Why? You have used it so many times. You know how it works. Hallelujah. You know how it works. So it's a decision on your part to stay your ground. There's counsel coming from different quarters. You're not accepting it. The law of the Lord, the word law means a principle, something that always works. That's why it's called a law. It's not a phenomenon. It's something that always works. The law of the Lord is in his heart. In that order, seed meditate day and night, it shall be as. So the outcome is that he's being sustained by forces you can see. Because to be by a tree planted by the rivers of water, you bring forth your fruit in your own season. So your season is not dependent on the season of others. You bring forth your fruit in your own season. This is the season that you choose, is when your fruit will come forth. That's what it means. So by your enforced confession and declaration, you have chosen your season by yourself. So if it's a season where nobody is bringing forth, you will bring forth. He shall bring forth his fruit in his own season. His leaf also shall not show signs of dryness. And whatsoever he doeth, he shall what? He shall prosper. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why sometimes you give yourself time. You give yourself time. I'm going to start this project, this process. I'm going to say, the first few times I say it, I know power is not being released outward. Power is being released inward. My heart needs to be persuaded. My heart needs to be persuaded. Power has been released inward first. The persuasion of the inner man is the first step. Once the inner man is persuaded, you fulfill the first part. What's the first part? Shall not doubt in his heart. So you have said, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he keeps saying shall come to pass. So the heart has been won over. There's nothing without that can resist you. Nothing without that can resist you. The minute Abraham cooperated with the name that God called him and introduced himself wherever he went, I am not Abraham, I am Abraham. Something happened on the inside of Abraham when he kept hearing Abraham, father of many nations. Something happened. His physical body received strength. Sarah was no longer called Sarai, it was now Sarah, a princess, the mother of nations also. She also, we won't find out in Genesis 17, Hebrews 11 told us, she also received strength to conceive when she was past age. So faith reversed the physical effects of aging in her body. As she conceived when she was past age, for she got, judged God faithful. How do we know they believe? Well, they would not have accepted that nomenclature that God gave to them. When God told Abraham, your name is no longer Abraham, you call Abraham. And your wife, don't call her Sarah, call her Sarah. They should have rejected it if they didn't believe. If they believe, by acknowledging it, their heart was persuaded. The process was speeded up. So what they waited for 24 years, in 1 year of their name being changed, the process manifested. I hope you know that though we say they believed, for 24 years, it was not active believing. It wasn't active believing. The name, it was when the name changed. That was what helped them. Hallelujah. That's what helped them. They needed something, a push. So Abraham also became like God. Who calls those things which be not as though they were? Because God is calling you a father of nations when you are struggling to have a child. And God's like, I have never lied. What I call you is what you are. And I won't change what I call you because we can't see the sign. Because the sign doesn't change what I call you. Hallelujah. The sign doesn't change what I call you. It doesn't at all. At all. That's what love faith does. Love faith will always work if we walk it. So we stand our ground, we walk the law. You keep, see, that is where consistency is in there. That's the force of patience. Will you keep saying the same thing? If you need wisdom to recalibrate or to adjust some things, will he give you wisdom? Yes. Let him ask of God, who gives so many liberally and doesn't operate. God doesn't mind you asking for wisdom. Okay, I've got into a crossroads now. I don't know what next to do. Let him ask God, who gives all men liberally. He gives lavishly, it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Hallelujah. He knows it's the will of God. So don't let situations tell you what the will of God is. Let the word of God tell you what the will of God is. Situations can deceive you. Imagine disciples of Jesus telling Jesus, after Jesus, then let us go to the other side. Then the storm arose. This mustn't be the will of God. Let us go on a Friday. Jesus, let's turn back. God is not interested today. No. The situation, the storm arose, even though Jesus has said, let us go. So you cannot use situation to judge the will of God. What did he tell you? That's what you stay with. When he told you, he didn't tell you. After I declared to you, and all shall be smooth and rosy. No. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. He didn't say, when you are believing for healing, don't worry. After a while, you feel no more pain. He didn't tell you that. He just told you that whether you feel pain, you don't feel pain, believe that you are healed. Don't use those indicators that are not in the word of God as a way to measure whether you are in faith or not. Use my word to measure whether you are in faith. Hallelujah. Yeah. I remember the story of, I think it was Dr. Tony Bakari that shared that testimony. He said, a pastor, when he was in Redeemed, then under Redeemed, they will announce, like we are announcing church project now. You know, we need to pay up for this place and everything. So they will announce, we have project to do so. In those days, $10,000 is big money. As in being serious money. $10,000 is like what millions now? Because I'm talking about the 80s. I remember in 1986, 85, my dad bought a new station wagon Peugeot for 12,000, brand new. 12,000 was brand new. SR. I mean, even you know SR. You don't know Peugeot. Ah, if you are using SR, you are a big man, no? SR. Not GR, SR. Saloon. Okay, station wagon. Peugeot was brand new. I still remember the price. So if they call a major church, Peugeot get 10,000. It's money. So he said they will announce in church and everything. He said, he wasn't happy. Then some people will now say, okay, maybe I'll give 50 naira. Some say I'll give 100 naira. He said, he was not happy. He said, God, if you bless me, they will never need to announce this church again. I will do everything myself. He said, when the grandpa said, he said, Pastor Boye, pray for him. God, bless my son. The desire of his heart be granted. Around that time, it was also 3 months to his wedding. What happened some weeks after? They sacked him. This is the blessing of God. If this blessing of God, this one does not make rich, he had sorrow. They sacked him. If they sack you 3 months to your wedding, if you don't panic, you're a man of faith. Because you don't even know how to go and tell your in-law that the job I was counting on is now gone. He said, he went to go and meet Pastor Boye. Is this how God blesses somebody? You know what I had? Say, the man just smiled. Vincent, he just smiled at him. Say, my son, just trust God for everything. Said, so, because the time was getting near, he was forced to go and open, with the savings that was left with him, to go and open an office and advertise as a lawyer, because he was a lawyer working at IFM. He said the first job he got was what they paid him for a whole year. The first job he got when he opened was what they normally pay me previous company for a whole year. I didn't know God was saying, for that prayer to come to pass, we have to push you out of this place. I don't even get it. If you stay where you are, it can happen. You must now, I hope you understand what I'm saying. But you know, if God tells you the details, you will never agree. Say, I don't want the blessing. I don't want the blessing. So, but how is it going to come to pass? That's where God's wisdom comes to pass, comes to play. Say, the first job he had, a whole year's salary was what he got from it. Hallelujah. So, stand your ground. Whatever you say you're believing on, You are not following cunningly devised fables. You are standing on the integrity of God's word. Just say it. Keep saying it. Count it all joy when you're saying it. It's not looking like it, but you know the word of God. By two mutable things, it is impossible for God to lie. That we might have a strong consolation. We who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor to the soul? Which hope has entered behind the veil? Where Jesus the forerunner has entered for us. I'm quoting Hebrews 6. Okay, from verse 12 downwards. Hallelujah. Where Jesus the forerunner has entered behind the veil for us. Let's even praise tonight. Let's lift up hands and just thank Him. I trust you are blessed tonight. Let's thank Him. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We glorify your name. Amen.